السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاۃ والسلام علی سیدنا المصطفی صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا ان نسینا او اخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علینا اصرا کما حملته علی الذین من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا انت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, موسٹ ریسپیکٹڈ برادرز, اور سسٹرز لسننگ ایٹ دا مدرسہ, دوز لسننگ اوور ریسیورز, اینڈ آلسو دوز لسننگ اوور چینل اسلام, ایز آئی مینشن ان دا نائٹ آف معراج اور ان دا ٹاک آن معراج, الحمد للہ وی آر ویری فارچونیٹ ان ساؤتھ افریقہ. That long before these auspicious days and nights come, we get a lot of literature in the masajid, in our post boxes, at our business houses. There's so much of literature that is distributed informing us of the virtues of that Mubarak night or that Mubarak day. This is not the same in other countries. Many places they don't even know that there is an auspicious day or an auspicious night, or in fact some places, believe me or not, they are not even aware that the month of Ramadan has come in. They are living in such areas, or they are so cut off from Islamic society that they are not even aware that the month of Ramadan has set in. I have personally met such people. So we are very fortunate, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it is his ihsan and fazal upon us that we get a lot of literature. And now we also have the radio stations which broadcast programs with regards to these auspicious nights and days. Although I don't have the time to listen, but I'm aware that broadcasts of these programs are taking place or have already taken place. Therefore, it makes it very easy for us. We do not have to go into details as we had to in the past. Those days we had to explain in detail. Now most of them who are present in the audience or those who are listening, they are already aware what Laylatul Barat is all about, what are the virtues of this night. So it is more or less just recapping. As far as this night is concerned, there are a number of ahadith with regards to this Mubarak night. As far as muhaddithin are concerned, they will have academic discussion on the authenticity of certain riwayat, and they will also check and investigate the rawis, meaning those who are transmitting those hadith sharif. Then in accordance with their usul and principle, somebody will say that this is a sahih hadith, this is za'if hadith, this is hasan hadith. Now that is all academic discussion. So that is all academic discussion. But looking at all the different riwayat and all the different narrations, we come to the conclusion that this Mubarak night, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam engaged himself in ibadat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam engaged himself in very, very long sajda. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went to the Qabristan and he prayed for those who were buried in Baqi, the graveyard of Madina Sharif. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was so long in sajda. Now I'm not going in detail, but just to give you some kind of indicators that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam remained so long in sajda That is Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, his beloved wife, she says, I fear that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam passed away. So therefore she touched his toes whilst he was in sajda. And when he moved the feet, then she realized that he was still alive. The dua which is famous that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was reading in sajda. A'uzu bi afwika min iqabik. وَأَعُوذُ بِرِضَاكَ مِنْ سَخَطِكَ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْكَ جَلَّ وَجْهُكَ لَا أُحْصِي ثَنَاءً عَلَيْكَ أَنْتَ كَمَا أَثْنَيْتَ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, afterwards he told and informed Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that this is the dua that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam taught him, and she must learn it and teach it to others. Seeking protection in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in His forgiveness from His azab. Asking Allah ta'ala for protection in His forgiveness, in His af and karam, from His azab, from His wrath, from His punishment. And seeking protection in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's rada and pleasure, from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's anger. Because the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is more greater than even the ni'mats and the bounties of Jannat. The pleasure of Allah Ta'ala is greater than even the ni'mats and bounties of Jannat, paradise. In fact, we only get those ni'mats if we please Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Once again, that Allah Ta'ala said, that why is it that our du'as are not being accepted? Why is it that we are suffering all over the world? He says, because we have displeased Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and we are not even making an effort to please Him. We are not bringing about any real changes in our lives. So then what do we expect from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? But nevertheless, so we are asking Allah ta'ala for protection in His raza and in His pleasure, from His anger and His wrath. Seeking protection in Allah, from Allah, meaning from the anger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And then the person says, La uhsi sana'an alayk, anta kama asnaita ala nafsi. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was making that dua, which means, the meaning of which is this, that, oh Allah, I cannot enumerate, I cannot count, I cannot really do justice to your praises. How can a person do justice to the praises of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when all his attributes and all his sifat are unlimited? So how can you do justice to His praises? And Allah Ta'ala, who is the creator of the universe, creator of man, creator of insan, He blessed insan or human beings with intelligence, with aqal. So how can that aqal be unlimited? Allah Ta'ala has created it, so it is limited. So we cannot do justice. He says, you are as you have praised yourself. So now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who said, Ma bayna bayti wa mimbari rawzatum min riyazil jannah. Between my home and my mimbar is a garden from the gardens of paradise. Riyazul Jannah, those who have been to Madinah Sharif, Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we all know that we must make namaz or try to make namaz in Riyazul Jannah. And it has been stated that that Riyazul Jannah, that garden of Jannat, which is called garden of Jannat, the same area will be turned into Jannat on the day of Qiyamah. That is one of the explanations. So now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it is as if Jannat was right next door to him. If we have to look at the Hadith Sharif, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, Ma bayna bayti wa mimbari, between my house and my mimbar, is a garden from the gardens of Jannat. And every time that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam stepped out from his house, where did he step? He stepped into that same area. So gardens of Jannat were already there for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And as far as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam is concerned, it is our yaqeen, our iman and our belief that we would not have been blessed with iman if it had not been for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's coming. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who could have got iman? How would we have been sitting here talking about this night if we had not received iman through Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? He passed it on to his companions to the Tabi'in, they to the Tabi' Tabi'in. That's how it went on until we received Islam. Na masjid, na masjid ke unche minare, na qibla, na kaaba, na makka, madina. Gar Muhammad na hote, to kuch bhi na hota. نہ مسجد نہ مسجد کے اونچے مینارے، نہ قبلہ نہ کعبہ نہ مکہ مدینہ، اگر محمد نہ ہوتے تو کچھ بھی نہ ہوتا. سو ایمان کیم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم فرام نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام تھرو ہیم اینڈ جنت از رائٹ دے. اینڈ نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام آن دا ڈے آف قیامہ وین ہی ول میک شفاعت، دین آفٹر دیٹ وی ول گیٹ انٹری ان ٹو جنت. Those who will enter into Jannah, they will have to wait for the shafaat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Then the doors of Jannah will open. But that Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, who was so great that after Allah he is the greatest. لا يمكن الثناء كما كان حقه بعد خدا بزرگ تو یہ قصہ مختصر. It is not possible to praise Nabi Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It is not possible to praise Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Just as we cannot do justice to the praises of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we cannot do justice to the praises of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ba'd as khuda buzrug tu ye qissa mukhtasar. All we can say is, after Allah you the greatest. After Allah you are the greatest. Now that Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, such long sajda he is making. Such long duas he is making. Such tears he is shedding before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He is going to the Qabristan and he is praying and he is praying and he is praying. Now for whom is he doing all these things? He was masoom, he was sinless, there was no doubt about his being sinless. From whichever angle you look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life, there is nothing but beauty in it, there is nothing but kamal and jamal in it. Beauty and perfection. But yet look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, although he is doing everything else, because this is where we make the biggest mistake, that we say that this ibadat, zikr, tilawat, these are all petty things. We must do service to mankind. Indeed, there is service to mankind. Who could have done more service to mankind than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam? Who could have done more charitable work than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam? Who could have cared more for widows, orphans, destitutes, the weak? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to even carry the burden of the poor and for the need of the needy. The weight that those people who could not carry themselves, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to carry for them. Who did more for the others than Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Who went into the battle of Badr and the battle of Uhud and the battle of Khandaq and Fateh Makkah? So there is place for everything in Islam. Islam is a very, very balanced deen. There is no extremism. There is no such thing that only namaz. There is no such thing as only zakat, only hajj. Hajj upon hajj only the person makes and is satisfied that I'm a very good Muslim. In Islam there is a balance. There is no extremism of any kind. Yes, there will be what we term as distribution. Every person cannot do everything. Some people will do A, some people will do B, some people will engage in jihad, somebody will be engaged in caring for the poor, needy and destitute, making that his day and night occupation. Somebody will be financing, somebody will be doing something else. But each and every person to some extent will also participate in all those activities to some extent. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was occupied in all aspects of life, all aspects of deen. He was the most active person that we can think of. Islam does not say we must become lazy. Islam doesn't believe in people being lazy. We have to be very active in society. Islam doesn't recommend laziness. That is not Islam. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did everything. And together with all those activities, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made long duas. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam engaged in long sajdas. He stayed in ibadat, sometimes standing so long that his feet swelled. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's feet swelled. Now for whom was he making all that? So he fulfilled the rights of both Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and the creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And that is a Muslim, that he fulfills the rights of both. Therefore, in the ahadith that you get with regards to the night of Barat, one of it is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, without going into the details of that hadith sharif, which is well known to all of you, But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that came into the house, removed his clothes, he must have been preparing to go to bed, and then suddenly he gets up again, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam left. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha followed him, she found him in the graveyard there of Baqi. He said, "Ya Aisha," when he returned, then it came to know why she had followed him. He said, "Oh Aisha, do you think Nabi of Allah ta'ala would have done any injustice to you? Because he had other wives, so do you think that he would have done injustice to you?" Now that Hadith Sharif is well known. But the point there is, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, "Qaman Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wasallam ruwaidan, wa fataha al-baba ruwaidan, wa aghlaqa al-baba ruwaidan." Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he got up very, very softly, very gently. He didn't make a big din when he was coming out of the house. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam opened the door softly. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam closed the door softly. Now what lessons are being given in there for us? Also one mention is there, one ta'ala ruwaidan, he put on his shoes very softly and gently. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was considerate. He was considerate for the rights of others. His wife, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, he did not want her to be disturbed, her sleep to be disturbed. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave us such an important lesson which I have discussed many times. Consideration of others' rights. And we have completely forgotten that. I have mentioned this before also and I have no hesitation in repeating because it is necessary. In fact, one great alim is called Shaykhul Islam. He has written, "Microphone ka zalimana istemal." Zalimana istemal. The unjust usage of this mic. Unjust usage. Because there in Pakistan, many other places, they broadcast the program from the azan speakers. Now there are people who are sick, who are weak, who are tired, who are sleeping, who have to work late at night, or we have to get up early and go to work. Now they are unconcerned and they play that whole night because it's an auspicious night. So the whole night the program must be heard by everybody. So he says that is a zalimana istemal, unjust usage. And that is exactly what we are doing now with our azans. We know we have 10-15 masajid in just one small area. And it is as if there is a competition. Who has his speakers the loudest? Full blast. What kind of a competition is that? In the masjid will be only the people of that area that will come there. But we will find the azan of one area going 10 miles out this side, the azan of the other area going 20 miles out that side. Everybody is just competing. And listen to it at the time of Maghrib, it becomes like a joke. Or those namazas which clash, the azans are at the same time. Then it becomes like a big joke. And we have no idea, but have a speaker, full blast, and it is focused directly onto the window of the bedroom of a person who has just had heart transplant, or it has had a heart bypass, or he has a heart attack, or there is some old person that is sick and weak, and you've got the masjid right next door, and the mic, and the speaker is full blast. Ask those people, what are they going through? Give azan at the top of the voice without the mic, there's no problem. And if you want to use the mic, then lower the volume, let it be for that area that is just around there. That is what we are talking about. Why do we create problems? Look at the number of people that are complaining. There were articles upon articles before that used to come into the newspapers, they got tired. I received so many letters from some neighbors. We try to lower it as much as possible. But this is something that whoever has some kind of influence on those masajid, then they have to educate them that there is no need for it. What is the need for it? If it was farz, if it was wajib, then why don't we use it fajr time? If it was farz and wajib, then why don't we have it on fajr time? Why do we give consideration fajr time? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching us manners, etiquette, and that akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is what is lacking in our lives. Whether it is at the wuzu khana, whether it is our parking, we are inconsiderate. If a person has come late and he had to park right at the back of all the other cars because he came late. So there's no problem. Get into the masjid and as soon as the farz namaz is finished, then get to the car, remove the car from that area repark the car properly, then come into the masjid. We are sitting for programs in the masjid. The program is after that over, and we will not be bothered to go and remove our cars. Wherever it is parked, we will, until we are not finished with all our chit-chat and mulaqat and musafahas and mu'aniqas, until then that person must wait. The same with nikah time. We think that the whole parking area just belongs to us, because everybody will queue up and every person wants to embrace the bridegroom. Now these are not necessary things. It's not important. And if you want to, then wait for the right occasion or park the car properly. Allow the people who are want to go, who just came for salat, to go. After that, then make mu'anaka and make mulaqat and congratulate, or tell the person, I'll meet you there when we come for walima, when we come for the meals there. So there are so many issues like that. When we come late night from business or other activities, even if it is dini activities, look at the noise that we make in our homes. Those wives must get up. All the children have to get up. Everybody has to hear that Hazrat has returned now after a dini program. They must pass a vote of thanks that you attended a dini program and came. And some people go and attend other kinds of programs and come. At least that man came from some dini program. But those people who come from cinemas and theaters and discos and from the casinos and from their card games, 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning, and they are knocking the door and hooting outside and getting the whole neighborhood up. Now these things may seem petty, but this is what Islam is: rights and consideration of the rights of others. We must be behaving in this world like people in Jannat, that we don't cause hurt, injury and harm to anybody. Yes, there are occasions where the person is going to hurt somebody or is going to harm somebody because there is a need for it. If somebody is going trying to shoot him, now you say, no, Islam says you mustn't harm anybody, so just put your hands up and give in. Now, that is not Islam. If somebody is attacking somebody's wife, then we say, no, let him attack, because Islam says you mustn't hurt anybody. Will that be Islam? So courts of justice will rule regarding certain matters and issues. Now that is a different story. I am talking about in our lives, that we must be considerate. We have to think twice, that if I was in this person's place, would I be happy with what I am doing, with what he is doing? If I had been in his place, then what would I have said? So just as we do not want others to cause us any kind of injury, harm and pain and problem, like that we should not be causing to others. Now look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the greatest after Allah, and his wife is the most beloved to him, and she would not have had any kind of objection, but yet look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the type of consideration he is giving. There are so many incidents that are coming to my mind, but I do not want to take in that direction, otherwise we will just go on. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, regarding this night, he informed Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam informed him that it is a night of Barahat. And on this night, the 15th night of Shaban, it is the 15th night of Shaban. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgives more people than even the hair on the goat of the Bani Kalb tribe. Now the Bani Kalb tribe was reputed to have the largest number of goat, cattle, sheep, etc. Allah Ta'ala forgives even more people than that. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asks Hazrat Aisha for permission and engages himself in ibadat. Again, he's asking Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha for permission. And then he engages the whole night in ibadat. Again, conveying a very, very important lesson. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if he had just made Allahu Akbar and started and remained whole night, there was no problem. But we all know that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was 25 years of age, he married only one wife, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she was 40 years of age. And until she lived, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not marry any other wife. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, look at the number of years that he lived with her. And after she passed away, Islam was now spreading, and the women folk were required. There was a need now to educate them. There were so many women that were required now to teach them. So those women who stayed with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they could have now explained to the world that this is how the husband has to act, and this is how my beloved husband Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he behaved, This is how we entered the home with a smile, with a cheer. This is how he talked to us. This is how he helped and assisted us in the household work and occupation. This is how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam engaged in ibadat. This is how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whilst he was talking to us, he used to listen to us, and even certain things which were not what we may term as dini, but they were general matters. If the wife spoke, then he listened to it. But as soon as azan was given, then he left them as if he did not even recognize them. This is how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made his wuzu in the house. This is how he made his tahajjud. This is how he had his bath. This is how he combed his hair. This is how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam clipped his nails. This is how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam acted on the different things. This is what was taught by whom? By the wives of the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So those people who say that it was na'uzubillah passion, then at that age, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was now occupied with battle of Badr and Uhud and Khandaq and everything else, and the people are coming from all sides to learn about Islam, he's got no time. You think that time there was time for passion? Nevertheless, so what I am saying is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he then engaged in his ibadah. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, Allah ta'ala forgives. Now, if you look at the other ahadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in this night forgives everybody. Allah ta'ala descends. Which means that Allah ta'ala's rahmat, his tajalli, his special mercy descends up to the lowest heaven. Right from the time of sunset. And Allah ta'ala himself says, is there anyone seeking forgiveness that I may forgive him? Is there anyone seeking sustenance that I may give him sustenance? Is there anybody requiring this or that so that I may give it to him? Is there anyone seeking pardon that I may give him pardon? In other words, all the things that people need in this world, tonight Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself is tapping at our door. We were told that you tap at the door of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Keep knocking the door, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will open his door. Zarbe kisi ke naam ki dil pe yun hi lagaye ja. Zarbe kisi ke naam ki dil pe yun hi lagaye ja. Khole wo ya na khole dar, us pe ho kyun teri nazar. Tu to bas apna kaam kar, yani sada lagaye ja. He says that you go on tapping at the door of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Whether he opens or does not open, that is not your job. You keep tapping, and Allah ta'ala is so forgiving, so merciful, so kind and so loving that if you keep tapping at his door, he will open the door sometime. But you do your job, that is you keep tapping. And before that he says, Baithega chain se agar, kaam ke kya rahenge par, go na nikal sake magar, pinjre mein par padaye ja. That if a bird has been caught and put into a cage and the bird sits down calm and relaxed, then what will people think? That this bird is very, very comfortable in this cage. It doesn't want to come out of this cage. Allah Ta'ala has given the bird wings. What must it do? It must flap those wings, keep on flapping. Somebody that's passing by will take pity and mercy and he'll open the cage. He said, let this bird fly out. So like that, as Muslims and as believers in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we must shed tears before Allah, beg of him, keep on tapping his door, ask him, and see how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala turns the tables. So this night, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he forgives. But there are certain categories of people who are not forgiven, and one is the category which we term as those who are mushrikeen. Those who associate partners with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in his sifat, in his zat, in his person, in his attributes. Now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not tolerate any kind of shirk. That is why we are told in Surah Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَد, that Allah is Ahad, not Wahid. Wahid, after that you can have Isnain, you can have Salas, you can have Arba, you can have Khamsa, you can have lots of things. But Ahad is Ahad, finished. Allah is one, that's the end of it. There's no partner to Allah Ta'ala. Therefore, when we go for Hajj also, what do we say? labbaik allahumma labbaik labbaik la sharika laka labbaik innal hamda wan ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. Oh Allah, in this ihram there's no shirk. In my niyyah there's no shirk. In my tawaf there's no shirk. In my sa'i between Safa and Marwa there's no shirk. In my attachment to the multazam there's no shirk. In my going under the mizab-e rahmat no shirk. My Mina, Arafat and Muzdalifah no shirk. There is no shariq, you have no partner, there is no association. Everything of mine is solely for you, one Allah. So those people who has worship more than one Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, so they are not forgiven. Then those people who harbor jealousy or those people who harbor enmity in their hearts. Now this enmity against the believers, whether it is father, brother, sisters, uncles, aunts, nieces, nephews, whoever it may be. One is enmity, hatred, dislike. There has been some problem, there has been some dispute, but now the person is harboring enmity and hatred. He waits for opportunities to somehow ridicule that brother or that sister or that uncle or that aunt. He waits to use derogatory terms against him. The person goes out of his way to cause harm and injury and pain. Now that is not a Muslim. Now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not forgive such kind of people until they forgive each other. I've explained many times that there can be an issue over which there is a dispute. So then that dispute can continue. The issue must be resolved. I am not for one moment suggesting that if somebody is owed 100,000 rand or 1 million rand, then you go out of the masjid and say, Maulana, didn't he say that must make maaf whatever you are owing? So now everything is maaf. What do I owe you now? All the goods that I took, everything maaf now. Every Shab-e Barat come, everything maaf. We are not saying that. If there is a dispute, if there is some kind of problem, then solve that as a problem. Separate that from that family ties of whichever person it may be, whichever Muslim brother or sister, then separate the issue. In India, in one village, two brothers had fight and argument over some inheritance matter. They tried to resolve it, it wouldn't resolve. So finally the matter, they said, well, let's take it to court. Now two brothers, and both were having a lot of love for each other as brothers. But they had a dispute which they couldn't resolve. People of the small village couldn't resolve. So now they decided to go to court. But believe me, and this is a true incident. The both brothers used to go to court. How they used to go? The both brothers, sometimes this brother buys the ticket for that brother, the train ticket. Sometimes this brother buys the ticket for that brother. They have breakfast together. They talk general matters, and then they travel together in the train. They talk about Iran, Turan, everything else, but they don't talk about that issue. Then again, if it is time for lunch, they sit together, they have their lunch. And then when they go to the court, then he presents his case, he presents his case. And when they come out from there again, they embrace each other and they come back home. Now, where did we hear of that kind of dispute? So they really understood that the family relationship must remain. You can fight over whatever the issue is and come to some kind of resolution. But in fact, we know that how people, when they go to courts, then it is just the lawyers that will become rich. Only they will become rich. In India, again, there was a dispute over one mango tree. It was between two farms. And that was the mango tree, a huge tree which was producing the most amount of mangoes. And people know that mangoes from there are exported to the world, and some of those mangoes are really, really delicious. You don't get it anywhere else. So the dispute was now over the tree. Over everything else, they had sorted it out. This is yours, this is mine. Now that tree came between the two lands. So the dispute went on and on until they ended up in court. Now at court, they fought and they fought and they fought. And finally, the judgment was given that cut the tree to two pieces, give half to him, give half to him. What else can you do? In other words, cut the tree down, finish. So neither this person benefited nor that person benefited. Both brothers didn't benefit. Who benefited? The lawyers. Therefore, they say one father was showing the photograph of his son. that my son is becoming a lawyer. He showed it to an old man, a wise old man. So the son was standing posing with his hands in his pocket. So that wise old man said, I don't think he'll make a good lawyer. Says, why? Say, because his hands are in his pocket. Supposed to be in this. I don't think he'll make a good lawyer because his hands are in his pocket. The lawyer's hand must be in the other person's pocket. With apologies to good lawyers. So this is a night in which we should be making maaf. Now this is a subject again we can speak whole night. Look at the number of ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That famous one of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa radiallahu ta'ala an. He says, we are sitting in the plains of Arafat and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then said that whoever has broken ties with his family members, they must leave this place. So one sahabi got up and he went away. Now imagine in 124,000 people, just one person had problem with his aunt. What kind of people they were? Were they not human beings like having the same flesh and bones like we have? Did they not have a heart? Did they not have also those same needs and requirements as we have? But look at the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that what kind of fragrance they imbibed in his company. It's unreal. That is what I mentioned last night or the other night in Pietermaritzburg also. That if you look at the company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that they kept, what did they learn from him? In the company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that fragrance that they imbibed, it was the fragrance of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's honesty, truthfulness, charity, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's ibadat, his khushu and khuzu and his meditation, devotion in salat, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's service to the poor, the needy, the destitute, the orphans, the widows, whether they were Muslims or non-Muslims, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam served. In the company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they learned sabr, they learned shukr. In the company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, their hearts were purified of malice, of greed, of pride, of arrogance. That is what they had in their lives. And that is why when they went with those fragrances out of Madina Sharif and Makkah Sharif, wherever they went, any person that inhaled that fragrance, he had no choice but to accept Islam. He said, these people, they are angels. They cannot be causing any kind, they cannot be speaking any kind of lie. Now that is what they learned from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his forgiveness, we look at the ahadith on his forgiveness, so many incidents. But there is no time to go into those details. All we are saying is that that category of people, so that one sahabi got up from there. He went, he came back after a little while, they asked him what happened. He says, I had some problem with my aunt. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, must go, whoever has got any problem with any family member, so I got up and went. I asked my aunt for forgiveness, she forgave me, I forgave her. And I came back. He said, you did the wonderful thing. Because Allah Ta'ala's rahmat is held back from those, that community and people where people have broken off family ties. Now look at our societies. We must believe, truly believe that it is our sins that are catching up with us. It is our sins that are catching up with us. Why the pious and the righteous, why they don't have those kind of problems that we have? There can be problems in their lives also, and there are problems. But this problem where the husband is not liked by the wife, wife is not liked by the husband, brothers and sisters are at loggerheads and fighting, uncles, aunts, nieces, nephews, mother-in-laws, daughter-in-laws, sister-in-laws, everybody is like a free-for-all. What is the reason for that? We say no education, lack of education. Take a whole group of 5,000 Muslims, put them together, those who are going to be getting married or those who are married. Give them all the education. Give them all the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Give them all the counseling and all the advices. And say, this is how you must behave in your marriage. And see after that how many homes practice on that. And how many end up in the court. So there again we have to remember, Nigahe aqriba badli mizaje dostan badla. Nigahe aqriba badli mizaje dostan badla. Nazar ek unki kya badli ke kul sara jahan badla. When Allah Ta'ala becomes displeased, then He disunites the hearts also. So there is no other solution except to turn towards Allah Ta'ala, and He is so merciful, so forgiving. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is so forgiving, so merciful, that He has given us opportunities, Mubarak days, Mubarak nights. He has given us opportunities to make tawbah, to turn towards Him. Just help Him with it. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given us these opportunities. And also there's mention of those people who are disobedient to their parents. Now this is also something that we can go on discussing, but we know that parents, they are the means of us coming into this world. So we are not allowed to make footballs of them. If Allah Ta'ala gave us some intelligence now, Allah Ta'ala gave us some kind of profession, Allah Ta'ala gave us some wealth, we now have a good car, a good home, a good bank balance. So that doesn't mean then we must just neglect our parents, we must dump them, throw them away, treat them like doormats. If the parents are unhappy, this person will never be successful in the world and even in the akhirat. Once again, I repeat that in many, many cases, it's the parents themselves who are the zalims. They are unjust, they are unfair. Imagine if a father has to tell the daughter that how long are you going to sit in the house? No proposals are coming. She wants to get married. She wants a good proposal. Her age has caught up. Now the father tells the daughter, you must pay rental now in the house. How long are you going to stay in the house? You must pay rent. And you must go out, work and support. And I'm not talking about some father that is struggling to make ends meet. We are getting so many cases of those fathers who have got plentiful. Allah Ta'ala has blessed them with plentiful. But they are prepared to sacrifice the chastity of their daughters. Send them to work anywhere you wish. Whereas if there is a need, a desperate need for that woman to work, then first of all with the parents in the shop, if there is a desperate need in proper environment there to be working. Now all those details I'm not going into, but what I'm saying is that those fathers who are saying these kind of things to their daughters, or those who are abusive, they are beating up their wives, they're beating up their children. So now those children have got hatred for those fathers. Or in front of those children, the fathers are beating up those wives. Father is beating up the mother of the child. Now the child is becoming traumatized. Now those little children, they are watching that my father comes, boom, bang, slap, boot, kick. Now what kind of a father is that? The father is on a high but is not realizing that what is happening to the child. So they are to be blamed. But even then we say to the children, make dua for those fathers and you try to be balanced. Don't go on to any kind of extreme. But it's difficult. Those children are finding it difficult. They write to us, they phone and tell us that these are things that are happening. What do we do? There are so many children who are wishing that our parents die. One young girl of 12 years or 10 years of age, and she says, I make dua to Allah Ta'ala, in a crash my parents must be killed. My father because of his abuse, and my mother so that she may not suffer after that. Now look at this child, what kind of a thinking is that? So our TVs and our movies, when we talk about them, they say that Maulvi's got no other work. But there is a background message there that is having, kill, boot, shoot, kill. Do this, do that, we know that. Otherwise little children won't shoot their parents and strangle them. And all these things won't be happening what we are reading of. So this night is a night of forgiveness. If the parents have been disobeyed, then ask them for forgiveness. Tell them make dua. Because it will be beneficial to us if we are going to do that. Family members, make a phone call. Look at Shariat, how balanced that if you have a problem with somebody, now you are not even required to go on maintaining that same good, friendly relationship that you had before the problem. That is Islam again. If it had forced us that now you must still maintain the same friendly relationship with those family members and friends, it would have been difficult. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam tells Hazrat Wahshi, who was responsible for martyring Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, and he martyred him. But he says that if you can help it, don't come in front of me. Why did he say that? You think Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam could not have tolerated Hazrat Wahshi in front of him? But it was for weak people like us that now you had some problem, you do not wish to keep the same friendly relationship, don't keep. But at least make salam, make dua for that person, don't backbite, that much is sufficient. And whatever the rights of the person, fulfill it. So ask for forgiveness from those parents because they are the doors of our Jannah. The mother's feet, beneath that lies Jannat. The father is also door. So therefore we have to be very considerate, we have to be very kind, we have to be very humble. We have to lower ourselves before those fathers and those mothers, and especially if they have reached old age. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Now there's no time to go into detailed explanation. But this is what we are told. We must be gentle, we must be kind before those people. Then those people, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, who are involved in sorcery. Now this witchcraft and sorcery is becoming like prevalent in these days. So many people are occupied in sorcery and witchcraft. And then that poor person will start running from Taweez Walas to Taweez Walas until he will end up by the Sangomas, and then he will be wiped out clean with all his bank balances. The Taweez Walas will make a racket. So if a person is suspicious, or if a person is certain that something has been done, then there is nothing wrong with treatment. But don't go to all these bogus people around. What was done by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam when jadu and seher was done on him? What did he do? He went to some Taweez Wala. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Surah Falaq and Surah Nas, these two surahs were revealed. And as it was recited, the knots on that hair that was tied was all removed. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was cleared. Now what can be more powerful than those ayat of the Quran Sharif? But make our salat first 5 times a day. Remove from our homes all those things that are inviting the devils into our homes. If you ask me, I will say, I don't go to the cinema, I don't go to the theater, I don't go to the disco, I don't commit zina, I don't steal, I don't go to the casino, I don't do all that. I don't go to the church, I don't go to the temple, I will say all that. But through the screen, what are we bringing into our homes? Through the television screen, what is coming into our homes? Prostitute quarters, drug dens, cinemas, theaters, churches, temples, adultery, fornication, drinking, gambling, everything we are bringing on those screens into our dining room, into our lounge, everywhere. And then we say, no peace, no sukoon, feeling restless, Maulana, feeling restless, ghabraat bothai, ghabraat. Now sometimes that ghabraat is due to some sickness and pain. We must not say that everybody is because of sins now. We must not become like that parrot. One parrot was a very talkative parrot, so people used to come into the shop and buy. One day the parrot dropped, it's an example Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullahi gives, the parrot dropped some expensive perfume, knocked the bottle down. So the master gave it a good hiding on its head and made it bald. So the parrot stopped talking. And after some time again, they tried to make it talk, but it wouldn't talk. So the customers were all going away. One day some Haji Saab came, he had shaved his head out after the Umrah, and he walked in. So when the parrot saw him, he said, it must be you also knocked down somebody's perfume bottle. You must have given you a good hiding, that's why you became bald. So we must not see that anybody who is bald must be somebody gave him a hiding on his head. So these people who have getting all these kind of ghabraats in the home and all kinds of fear and everything that's gripping, most of the time it is nothing but those devils which we are bringing in through all these television screens. Now we don't want to listen to that because it affects our pleasures. We want both. We want pleasure also, and at the same time we want to be cured also. Then how can both things work together? But try it out. We go on diet of so many different things. Try it out. I've said many times, try it out. What does it cost us to try it out? Young people, believe me, who have given up these type of sins in their lives, adultery, fornication, music and all this kind of haram things. Ask them now, what are they saying? Read the letters that they write. Speak to them directly and ask them. And they will tell you how much of peace, tranquility, sukoon they are finding in their hearts. Allah Ta'ala wants to give us a life of happiness in both worlds. In fact, one of the other categories is those people who are drinking alcohol and they're not making tawbah from it. So we can extend the meaning to all intoxicants. How much of intoxicants are being taken? How much of substance abuse? So this is a night now to ask for forgiveness from all that. Allah Ta'ala's doors are wide open. He is tapping our door tonight, right from Maghrib time. Is there anyone seeking this? Is there anyone seeking that? Now look at Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's mercy, His forgiveness, His ihsan upon His servants and His slaves, that He is tapping at our door. We are so lazy to ask. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, okay, I am telling you now that I have opened my doors and my treasures are unlimited. Allah Ta'ala's treasures are unlimited. There is no question of any shortage in His treasures. If we are going to ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, there is going to be no deficiency there. Whatever our needs are, who is there that can fulfill our needs? This is a world of means, there's no doubt. It's a world of means. We have to make use of the means in this world. And that is Islam, that is Sharia. It doesn't say that you must just leave the camel and make tawakkul in Allah Ta'ala. We have to tie the camel. In the same way, we are told that you can use baglagas, you can put security, alarm, you can do everything. You must go to the business houses, open your shop and stock your shops up and work hard and sell and buy. Now all this is in the world of means we are going to do. If you are sick, then take medication, go to the doctor. If you have to undergo operation, undergo it. But who is it that is going to create the means of shifa? Who is it that is going to create those means of risk? Allah Ta'ala Himself is saying, if you want risk, ask me. He is the one who is going to provide that risk and sustenance. It is going to come from Allah Ta'ala, no matter how much of intelligence we have got. But if Allah Ta'ala wants to pull the carpet from beneath a person's feet, then all his intelligence also fails and he will suffer the biggest loss in his business. He will suffer the biggest loss. And then we will wonder that how this person, so intelligent, what a big businessman and what a brain he was. But what has happened that he has gone right down and his whole business empire has collapsed. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the one who gives that sustenance. So don't forget Him who is the provider of that sustenance. So this is the night. Now the time, 1 hour is almost up. So therefore what I'm concluding with is that this is a night in which there have been a lot of virtues that have been mentioned in different ahadith. And it is really and truly a night in which we will either make our taqdeer or break it. Because one of the things that have been mentioned, although there may be some kalam on it, but one of the things that has been mentioned, that the list of the names of those people who are going to die this year, how much of sustenance they're going to get this, or who is going to be born. Now all this list, it is given to the angels who are in charge in this night. So we don't know when our death is going to come. So we have to ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to give us a death of barakat. Look at the number of people who are suddenly leaving this world, young, fit, healthy, and not in ones and twos, whole carloads are going. And yet we don't seem to take any lesson. As far as they are concerned, most of them have become shaheed, Allah Ta'ala will give them high rewards in the akhirah. But the lessons that they leave behind for us, that however ready we must be, I've repeatedly said this, that we must be ever ready, not like those ever ready torch batteries. That when we need them, they are flat. We must be ever ready. Don't know when death will come. Therefore, repeatedly I have mentioned this and I will repeat tonight again, because we have such a large number of young people here, that don't leave evidence of sins on your cell phones, on your computer, in your files, in your pockets, wherever it may be. Don't leave evidence of our sins. We have recorded a lot of our sins. We have recorded a lot of our sins which we should not have been doing. Our records should have been records of good deeds and good actions in our Amal Nama. Because this is the night which he said, which the Amal Nama is presented before Allah Ta'ala. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wished to be a fasting person. So now these records that we have kept of the illicit beloveds and all the mixed, look what it is doing to the reputation of those young girls and boys, what it is doing to their reputation. Now suddenly we are screaming and shouting that look what is happening and what these people are doing, and they must take some action and take them to court. But who is it that engaged in all these things? We allowed our little children and our young boys and young girls to talk to any Tom, Dick and Harry on the chat lines, you know, they mix it, and we are unconcerned what they've got on their cell phones and what they've got on their computers, unconcerned. Because most of the time we were caught ourselves in that same fitna. So now don't keep the evidence of those sins. Look at carloads of people suddenly leaving the world. Somebody is going to go into the home, somebody is going to open our cupboards, somebody is going to look into our cell phones, somebody is going to look into our computers, somebody is going to look into our pockets, and somebody is going to open the files. And then they will say, my grandfather was doing this, my father was doing this, my brother was doing this, my sister was doing this. Then they say, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, I didn't even know that my wife was doing these type of things. So whether it is a wife or husband, whether it is a father or mother, brother or sister, or whoever it may be, Allah Ta'ala is giving us another opportunity to make sincere tawbah from those sins. There's no need to keep record and evidence of sins. We should be ashamed of sins. Accidental sin, it is an accepted thing. It will happen in our lives. But turn towards Allah Ta'ala and cry before Him and say, Ya Allah, we committed this sin, forgive us. So if we have those kind of things, then our tawbah and our istighfar will mean nothing. If we are not determined to get rid of those sins. So if somebody has got an illicit beloved, then create a fight with her. So one person says, what must I do? I said, create a fight with her. Swear her, curse her, tell her, like, I hate you, I've got another 3 girls that I'm now in association with. And then see how she disappears from the scene. Tell her that and see how she disappears. So we have to find solution to problems. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you and the ummah the tawfiq of amal. Wallah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala really wants to give us the best of this world, the best of the akhirah. He doesn't want to deprive us of the goodness of this world or the akhirah. Last night or the other night also I mentioned that the very fact that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that on the day of Qiyamah under the shade of the throne of Allah ta'ala, one category of people that will get shade will be those people who are just rulers, just kings. The person is a Muslim, is a believer and is a king. He will get shade under the throne of Allah ta'ala. So what does that mean? Does Sharia stifle our progress? There's no stifling of progress. You can progress until you become president of the country, or you become prime minister, or you can become king and ruler. That's not a problem. Otherwise, how else will that person get that shelter? But what we have to have is Islam first, deen first, practice on that deen, be good Muslims. Then we can make progress as much as we wish to. Islam doesn't stifle us.
Yaar rahe ya rab tu mera aur main tera yaar rahu yaar rahe ya rab tu mera aur main tera yaar rahu mujhko faqat tujhse ho muhabbat khalq se main bezaar rahu har dam zikro fikr mein tere mast rahu sarshar rahu hosh rahe na mujhko kisi ka tera magar hoshiyar rahu ab to rahe bas tada mein aakhir wird e zubaan ae mere ila la ilaha illallah 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 tere siwa maabood e haqeeqi koi nahi hai koi nahi tere siwa maqsood e haqeeqi koi nahi hai koi nahi tere siwa maujood e haqeeqi koi nahi hai koi nahi tere siwa mashhood e haqeeqi koi nahi hai koi nahi ab to rahe bas tada mein aakhir wird e zubaan ae mere ila la ilaha illallah la ilaha illallah. 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 Dono jahan mein jo kuch bhi hai, sab hai tere zere nagi. Jinno inso huro malaik, arsho kursi charkho zami. Kono makam e laiq e sajda, tere siwa e noore mubi. Koi nahi hai, koi nahi, koi nahi hai, koi nahi. Ab to rahe bas taadam e aakhir, virde zuba e mere ilah. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. 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 Yaad mein teri sabko bula dun, koi na mujhko yaad rahe. Tujh par sab ghar baar lota dun, khanae dil abad rahe. Sab khushiyon ko aag laga dun, gham se tere dil shaad rahe. Sab ko nazar se apni gira dun, tujh se faqat par yaad rahe. Ab to rahe bas taadame aakhir, virde zuba e mere ilah. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Nafs o shaitan dono ne milkar, hai kiya hai mujhko taba. Nafs o shaitan dono ne milkar, hai kiya hai mujhko taba. Ae mere maula meri madad kar, chahta hu main teri pana. Mujh sa khalq mein koi nahi, go bad kirdaar na masiya. Tu bhi magar ghafar hai ya rab, bakhsh de mere sare guna. Tu bhi magar ghafar hai ya rab, bakhsh de mere sare guna. Ab to rahe bas taadame aakhir, virde zuba e mere ilah. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa shafi'ina wa maulana Muhammad وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. Oh my beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, my most forgiving Allah, my most compassionate loving Allah, Oh my most beneficent, most merciful Allah, Oh my most beautiful Allah, my most tolerant Allah. We have extended our begging bowls in this Mubarak night. My beloved Allah, you yourself announce, is there anyone seeking forgiveness that I may forgive them? My beloved Allah, we are there to seek forgiveness of all our sins. We have extended our begging bowls before you, my beloved Allah. We are seeking forgiveness for all our sins that we have committed from the time we became of age up till now. My Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, you announce, is there any person seeking sustenance that I may give him sustenance? We are seeking halal rizq and sustenance in abundance from you, my beloved Allah. Ya Allah, you yourself announce, is there any person requiring this or that that I may give it to him? My beloved Allah, we are seeking from you the best of this world and the best of the akhirat. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, we have used your bounties and your gifts for your disobedience. Day and night we use our sight, our hearing, our speech, our wealth, all for your disobedience. How much of our homes are used for your disobedience? How much of our cars are used for your disobedience? How much of our wealth is used for your disobedience? My beloved Allah, in spite of all our disobedience and sins, how loving you are. How generous and kind you are. How compassionate and merciful you are. How tolerant you are that you are still giving us to eat and to drink and to wear and to travel around. You have given shelter above our heads. You are showering your ni'mats and bounties 24 hours of the day. Oh my beloved Allah. If there had been another Allah, he would have destroyed us by now. Looking at our sins, he would have destroyed us. He would have sent the tsunamis against us. He would have shaken the ground beneath our feet. You would have sent the gale force winds against us. But my beloved Allah, you dearly love forgiveness of the sins of the sinners when they turn towards you with repentance. You have given us these occasions and these opportunities so that we may turn towards you. My beloved Allah, we are ashamed of the sins that we have committed in our lives. You could have seized us there and then when we were committing adultery or fornication or popping drugs in our mouths or when we were engaging in some kind of haram activity. You could have destroyed us there and then. You could have brought embarrassment, shame and disgrace upon us there and then. But how loving you are, my beloved Allah. You gave us respite. You gave us a chance. You gave us another opportunity to make tawbah and return to you. My beloved Allah, we are ashamed of our sins. We are not justifying any of our sins. Indeed, we are the most sinful ones on the surface of this earth. Hum nadim hai, sharminda hai, hum gunegar hai, siyakar hai, hum badkar hai, hum mujrim aur khatakar hai, hum gande hai, napak aur nalayak hai, lekin mere maula, hum gande tujhe chhod ke jaye kahan. My beloved Allah, indeed we are the most sinful ones, but where do we go? There is no other door that we can tap. There is no other home in which we can beg. There is no other Allah for us besides you, my beloved Allah. My beloved Allah. Come into our lives. Come into our hearts. Change the direction of our lives. Our hearts have become restless, full of pain and suffering and problems, my beloved Allah. Full of anxieties and worries, my beloved Allah. We know that the major cause of our suffering around the globe is nothing but our sins. But my beloved Allah, this is a night in which your doors of maghfirat are open, my beloved Allah. You dearly love forgiveness of your servants.
We are therefore extending these begging bowls before you. You created these begging bowls in the mother's stomach so that we may extend them before you any part of the day or night. My beloved Allah, you are very loving and very caring. Forgive each and every one of us. Forgive our parents, our wives and children, our brothers and sisters, our family members. Forgive the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Forgive the sins of our eyes. Forgive the sins of our ears and our tongues. Forgive the sins of our hands and feet. Forgive the sins of our heart and mind. Oh my beloved Allah, forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly with the light of day or darkness of nights. There was no question of darkness for you, my beloved Allah. We were only fooling ourselves if we thought that nobody was watching us when we were engaged in sins. Oh my beloved Allah, when we were engaged in adultery or fornication or watching the filth on the television screen or internet sites or popping drugs in our mouths or any kind of other haram, my beloved Allah, you were watching every move of ours. You could have seized us there and then. My beloved Allah, this Mubarak night we are turning towards you. Change the direction of our lives. We are sick and tired ourselves of committing sins, my beloved Allah. We are sick and tired ourselves because it has brought us no peace, no happiness, no contentment, no satisfaction. It has brought nothing but misery in our lives. My beloved Allah, change the direction of our lives. Our hearts are in your control, my beloved Allah. Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de. Mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Badal de dil ki dunya dil badal de. Khudaya fazl farma dil badal de. My beloved Allah, gunahgari mein kab tak umr kaatu. Gunahgari mein kab tak umr kaatu. Badal de mera rasta dil badal de. How long are we going to walk the path of sins, my Allah? A day is going to come when we have to leave this world. Our soul is going to be extracted from every part of our body. Oh my beloved Allah. Aane wali kis se tali jayegi. Jaan teri jaane wali jayegi. Ruh rag rag se nikali jayegi. Ruh rag rag se nikali jayegi. Ek din tujh pe khaak dali jayegi. Mere Allah. Ek din marna hai aakhir maut hai. My beloved Allah. The angel of death is sure to visit us. So many people have left this world. So many are suddenly leaving this world. We don't know when the time of our death is going to come, where it is going to come, and in what condition it is going to come. How can we then be in haram places and haram establishments and haram actions? My beloved Allah, oh my beloved Allah, don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, in a cinema, in a theater, in a gambling den, popping drugs in our mouths, in adultery or fornication, in a casino, in a cinema or disco or rave club. Oh my beloved Allah, when the time of our death comes, take us to Medina Tayyiba. At the Rawza Mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with as-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Habiballah. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya khayra khalqillah. Let our souls depart. My beloved Allah, bless us with burial in Baqi. If it is not destined there, wherever it may be, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. My beloved Allah, give us the tawfiq to make our salat 5 times a day, to fast in Ramadan, to give zakat if due, to go for hajj if farz, to fulfill the rights of our parents, our children, our wives. My beloved Allah, give the wives the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of their husbands. My beloved Allah, give us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of the neighbors, our teachers, our elders, our young ones. Our neighbors and whosoever it may be, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, give us the tawfiq to fulfill their rights. My beloved Allah, bless us with consideration for the rights of others. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat and your love. give us such love of yours, my Allah, such love of yours and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that nafs and shaitan cannot distance us from you. Give us such a bond with you that we enjoy the sweetness of your love in our hearts. May Allah bless us with the sweetness of Iman in our hearts. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. We are spiritually sick and we are physically ill. Oh my beloved Allah, whosoever is in hospitals, clinics, homes or amongst us, whosoever is sick and ailing, give them complete shifa. We know that sometimes sicknesses and ailments and diseases can be a rahmat and a mercy in disguise. But my beloved Allah, we are extremely weak servants of yours. My beloved Allah, even if it is in the form of rahmat and mercy, then change it to the rahmat of good health. Those who are in poverty, my Allah, change it to the rahmat of wealth. My beloved Allah, those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal risk and remove their difficulties. Those who have no job and no employment, bless them, my beloved Allah, with halal risk and employment. Those who are on journeys, make them reach the destination safely. Those who are in depression, give them joy and happiness. Those who have no marriage, they are in search of marriage partners, bless them with compatible, righteous and pious marriage partners. Unite the hearts, my beloved Allah. Unite the hearts of parents and children, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, family members and ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, my beloved Allah. My Rahim Allah. My Kareem Allah. Hamare haal par raham farma. Open the floodgates of maghfirat for us. Open the floodgates of mercy for us. My beloved Allah, don't look at our sins anymore. Look at your shan of being Rahim and Kareem. Look at my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was rahmatul lil alameen. If you have to forgive us, he will become pleased and happy. Oh my beloved Allah, bless us with the best of this world and the best of akhirat. Don't deprive us of the goodness of this world and the goodness of akhirat. My Allah, when the time of our death comes, protect us and safeguard us from the attack of nafs and shaitan. Mere Allah, ay mere Rahim, Kareem Allah, those who have passed away, fill the graves with noor. Bless them with Jannatul Firdaus. Give their family members kith and kin, sabr jameel, ajr azim. Oh my beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, change the conditions in this country of insecurity to that of security. Ya Allah, create a condition of peace and tranquility and harmony. My beloved Allah, bless us with your rahmat and with your barakat. Oh my beloved Allah, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made duas for us. How much he begged for us. How much he cried for us. How much he sacrificed for us. That Pak, pure Nabi of yours, who was masoom and sinless, for the sake of the Ummat, how much he suffered. In Taif he was stoned. His shoes Mubarak were filled with his Mubarak blood. Ah, my Allah, how the angels must have witnessed your beloved Nabi being stoned in Taif. In Uhud he was stoned, he falls down unconscious. The pins of his helmet penetrate his jaws. The very salatu was salam. My beloved Allah, blood oozes from his body. His teeth are shattered. In the Haram Sharif, he is beaten up so much that he falls down unconscious. Ya Allah, he stands whole night in prayer. He was boycotted and ostracized for 3 solid years. The time comes when leaves of trees have to be chewed for survival. Ah, my Allah, when he is informed that that ummat for whom you cried so much, the ummat for whom so much of your blood oozed, the ummat in cinemas, discos, theatres, gambling, adultery, fornication, unconcerned even in Makkah Sharif and Medina Sharif with musical tones on their cell phones, engaged in so much of fitnas even in the Mubarak lands. How much of pain and suffering it must be causing to the sensitive heart of my beloved Rasul sallallahu. Tonight we are pledging to you, my Allah, we do not wish to return to those sins anymore. Bless us with a life of happiness, contentment, sukoon. Nafs o shaitan, dono ne milkar hai kiya hai mujhko tabah. Ae mere maula, meri madad kar, chahta hoon main teri panah. Ae ya rahi, ya kar. Agar ek tu nahi mera, to koi shay nahi. Jo tu mera, to sab mera. Palak mera zameen. کوئی مجھ سے پوچھے میں کیا مانگتا ہوں میں اپنے خدا سے خدا مانگتا ہوں وہ ہو جائے میرا میں ہو جاؤں اس کا یہی رات دن میں دعا My beloved Allah My beloved Allah My beloved Allah Let this night be Mubarak for us Bless us with all the barakat and the best of this night. And give us the tawfiq to change our lives before the coming of the month of Ramadan. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ My beloved Allah, throughout the world, the Muslim Ummah is suffering. Those who have been arrested, without any justification. My beloved Allah, create the conditions for their release. Those whose only sin was that they were calling towards your deen. My beloved Allah, create the conditions for their release. In Guantanamo Bay and many, many other places, in this Mubarak night also, by Allah, what kind of torture they are going through. Oh, my beloved Allah, give hidayat to the enemies of Islam. Bless them with Islam and Iman. But if they become obstinate and made up their minds that they will continue with oppression, suppression, tyranny and torture and bombardment, then my beloved Allah, shake the ground beneath their feet. Send gale force winds against them. Destroy them like you destroyed the Aad and the Thamud. My beloved Allah, you are well aware of the good wishes, the good desires, the aspirations that are in the hearts of each and every one who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night, in this Mubarak night. My beloved Allah, fulfill their good wishes, good desires, good aspirations. And you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, the pain and the suffering, the diseases, the tests, the trials of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. With your fazl, with your kindness, remove the difficulties, the pain, the suffering and the hardships and problems. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين